Your speaker is Garland Robinson.
Last Lord's Day was marked on our calendars as Palm Sunday. Do you know why? Today, likewise, on our calendar is marked a special occasion called Easter. Again, do you know why? These are events that all of us have grown up with, some in varying degrees as far as how we might respect or not respect or observe or not observe some things that are connected with this time called the Easter season. There may be occasion, and I feel like there is, where a great number of us have never really sought to investigate or to go back and look at its origin, find its history, what significance there may be involved in it, if any. And as far as our relationship to the Lord, what are we to observe in respect to it? What would the Bible teach about it? Therefore, in the lesson this morning, we're going to be looking at, one, its origin of Easter, exactly what it means, what is it we are to do about it, if any, and so on. We want to begin by giving some of the history in connection with it. The observance of Easter goes back many, many centuries. It's centuries old. However, it does not go back as far as the New Testament in the first century. Therefore, it is an observance of man, something that men have put in place of some kind of religious significance or service. Therefore, when it has been done that way, we would understand it stands without any authority from the Scripture or the Bible. Well, where then did this idea of Easter come from? Well, we recognize from the calendar of events, and maybe some friends, they would say that today is Easter Sunday. This is the day that the Lord rose from the dead. Well, we want to make clear and make plain that we are not by any means minimizing the resurrection from the dead. We're not trying to sweep it under the rug, not trying to put it down, because without the Lord being raised from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15 would tell us that we are of all men most miserable. Without the Lord's perfect life, without His atoning sacrifice, without that burial in the tomb and His glorious resurrection by which He was declared to be the Son of God in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, there would be no hope for any of us. We might as well fold up, might as well quit and go home right now, never come back, never have any semblance of religious service at all without the resurrection. So it is essential, it is important, and we need not to put it down in any respect. However, we do need, and we would furnish ourselves well, if we would see what significance it holds as far as a Christian relationship is concerned in this holiday season called Easter. Easter really came about as a convergence or a grouping together of three particular events. One, the Hebrew Passover, as observed by the Jews or the Israelites, which always fell in the month of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar, and was observed as a commandment of God to commemorate the passing over of death in Egypt and signaling the beginning of their escape from that land and going into the land of Canaan, and that land flowing with milk and honey. So the Hebrews were accustomed of celebrating once every year a festival, a period of days in which they would observe and commemorate that Old Testament event. Number two, there was also a pagan festival holiday that was given in honor of the goddess of the Saxons back in centuries past, even before the first century. That was in honor of the new birth of the spring, the dead of winter, coming out of winter, going into the spring where grass is growing and flowers are blooming and reemerging things that had been dead in the winter months. And this was a festival that was celebrated by the pagans, by those heathens or whatever of days gone by. And that was always done around in the time of the spring of the year. The third event that has kind of been grouped with that and involved in it was the resurrection of Christ. There were those in many centuries ago that thought the celebration of the resurrection ought to be an annual event. And so they just kind of merged and blended it together with this Hebrew Passover and then this pagan festival of the spring and the resurrection, that it all came together. Again, I'll point out that there's nothing in the Bible about any of these events as far as what we recognize or the world recognizes today as Easter, and any connection or celebration with it. So whenever we speak about these things, I can't give you a thus saith the Lord, because the Lord has not spoken in respect to this. And so we need to learn from history some things that may be significant about it. Well, there is in this thing called an Easter season. And there are several different days or observances that are connected with it. And we need to understand some of those. If you didn't realize it or not, 40 days ago, excluding Sundays. Now, they don't count Sundays. I don't know why, but 40 days ago was a day called Ash Wednesday. You may have recognized it. You may have heard someone else speak about it. Ash Wednesday is a day that marks the beginning of Lent or Lenten season. It is supposed to represent the 40 days of fasting, which was done by our Lord when He was baptized and went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days. This is supposed to be a time at which the world would recognize, or at least those who profess to name some semblance of Christ, say that this is a period of penance, or in which one would be repentant of their sins and viewing and preparing themselves up until this very day, which is Easter Sunday. This Lenten season began to be observed a long time ago. For one, it was never recognized until the Nicene Council met in 325 A.D. And in that council, it was determined or decided that Easter would need to be observed on Sunday. But they didn't mark or didn't tell which Sunday. That would not come until the 7th century A.D., at which another council was held and a decision made to mark as to when or what Sunday Easter would be observed. I'm sure you've noticed that Easter changes every year. Sometimes it's in March, and it can be as early as the third Sunday in March, or it can fall all the way down in the month of April. Of course, today is the second Sunday in April, but it can be observed as late as the fourth Sunday in April. So anywhere between the third Sunday in March and the fourth Sunday in April. Well, how in the world is it determined as to when that will be? Well, in the 7th century, they came up with a formula and decided, well, this is when we'll observe Easter. It would come then on the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring, which is March the 21st. In other words, the first day of spring, March 21st, then following that, the first full moon, and then following that, the first Sunday after the first. Does that make sense? All right, that's how it is derived then as to when Easter Sunday will be. Now, what significance or how anything that holds with anything, your guess is just as good as mine. Again, because we're not dealing with something that the Bible speaks of or authorizes or sets up that we should do. But in this Easter occasion, then there is this point of Lent. And there are religious services held by denominational churches. They will have a Lenten service. Sometimes they'll do it every Wednesday throughout these 40 days of Lent. But again, if you'll take today on the calendar and begin to count backwards, yesterday was day one, Friday day two, Thursday day three, and go back 40 days, except skip Sundays, and you'll arrive at a Wednesday. It always falls on Wednesday, and that is Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is named that because in some religious connection with some folks, they will take last year's Palm Sunday, in which they had palm leaves or palm branches, they would burn them and take the ashes of those palm branches and observe them next year on Ash Wednesday, and sometimes a priest might mix them up and make his finger in them and make a cross or something on the forehead of certain individuals. That's why it's called ash, the ashes of the palm. And again, I point out there's nothing really in the Bible that would show anything about that. Then, beginning on that Wednesday, this Ash Wednesday, and going forward is this period of Lent. Until you come, until 7 days before Easter Sunday. Now, that was last Sunday, and that's called Palm Sunday. It's called Palm Sunday because there are those who said, well, on that day, that's when the Lord went into Jerusalem for the very last time. This is called His triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And that's the occasion. Remember, when the Lord went in, He rode the little donkey, and the people were praising Him, pulling off their coats and throwing them in the way. The Bible said some would break off palm branches and lay down a carpet for Him to enter in. We read about this in Matthew chapter 21, Mark chapter 11, Luke chapter 19, and the Gospel of John in chapter 12. You read of it in all four of the Gospel records. Well, that was this Palm Sunday. And the first celebration of that occasion was never known until the 4th century A.D. Again, nothing you find in it in the Bible. Well, then after Sunday, that also marks the beginning of what is called Holy Week. Did you know we were in a Holy Week this past 7 days? Probably many of you didn't, but again, some people call this is Holy Week. Well, then on Thursday of Holy Week, which was this past Thursday, is a day called Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday. And that is the Thursday before Easter, and that is supposed to bring to mind the observance of the Lord's Last Supper with His disciples in the upper room. And in some places, there will be a priest that will pick out 12 members of his congregation and wash their feet to symbolize what the Lord did on that Thursday evening. Well, then after that is Good Friday. That's supposed to be a good fishing day. I don't know exactly why, but Good Friday. Well, Good Friday is supposed to mark the day the Lord was crucified. Then there is Holy Saturday. That was yesterday. That's the day before Easter. And in this Holy Saturday is supposed to be a day of vigil. That is a day of waiting. And sometime there are services that will be held, and they are awaiting, as it were, the resurrection of the Lord, and they'll hold services sometimes all night long, some extending all the way until the sunrise services. And you probably have some friends, maybe neighbors or family, that may be members of religious groups that are meeting or did meet this morning in a sunrise service. I'm traveling up and down the roads. You'll see a marquee out front of some of the churches saying that we're going to have sunrise services now, Sunday morning at 6. Well, this is supposed to be a time of waiting, a vigil, in which they're awaiting the Lord's resurrection. In some places, there will be occasions where they'll turn out all the lights. It'll be pitch dark. And then the priest will light a tall candle, and which is supposed to represent the light of Christ. And then he'll go around and he'll light members' candles to represent the new life and so on, of those kind of things. I remember growing up and hearing a great deal about that on Easter. You'd always wear new clothes, that you want to dress up. You may get a new dress, or you may get a new hat, or you get a new suit or something. You always wear new clothes, and that's connected with it. Well, again, the thought or idea was that it's to represent the new birth in Christ. There may have been those in this Lenten season where new members of some denomination have been baptized, and they're to wear new clothes on this week and this day to represent new life in Christ, and so on. Well, then there's Easter eggs. You ever wonder where an Easter egg came from? Well, Easter eggs were a part, or eggs at least, were a part of this pagan holiday of the festival of the spring. Eggs always been a symbol of life. And they were many times colored as the rays of the sun. And for what reason there, I don't know, but they were used. They were a symbol of new life. They were supposed to likewise represent the immature resurrection of the Lord. And so they're going to symbolize when those eggs hatch and a new chicken comes out, and that's supposed to represent something. Well, then there's rabbits. Where in the world did an Easter rabbit come from? Well, again, I don't know, other than all I was able to determine or find, that rabbits, as we understand, are quite prolific. They multiply. And again, they became used as a symbol of new life because they can, have little ones coming along quite frequently and such. And so that would represent a new life to be found in Christ. It was interesting to me that I found that pretzels likewise have connection with Lent. And this is supposedly a food that is to be used during this Lenten season. Hot cross buns. You probably have heard of them or may eat them. This is supposed to be a bun and with an icing of a cross on it in some connection. Well, then after today, after this day called Easter, if we go forward 50 days, and I didn't really look on the calendars to see when that would fall this year, but that is what's called Whitsunday, or Whitsuntide, is to represent Pentecost, 50 days after the Lord's resurrection, or Pentecost Sunday. And it's supposed to mark the end of this joyous holiday season known as Easter. And it commemorates the Pentecost day in that we read about in Acts chapter 2. And on that day, likewise, new members are to be dressed in new robes, new clothes, to represent their new life in Christ. Well, in all of these, as hurriedly going through some of the things that are connected with it, again, what does it have to do with the Bible? Absolutely nothing. I know that may sound odd and strange to a lot of people because they would think, well, you're denying the resurrection. Or you just can't do that. But as we mentioned before, we're not denying the resurrection. We give honor and glory unto God because of the resurrection. But yet, when we search through the Bible, there's no place where God has said or indicated that we are to observe the resurrection of Christ in some kind of service or annual observance in any way. For one, we find there is no command anywhere in the Bible, anywhere in the New Testament that tells us that. Number two, there's no example. You'll never find any brethren in the New Testament that ever had a special observance of the Lord's resurrection. And number three, there's nothing implied. When you read and study, even nothing, any hint or emotion whatsoever of these very things. But instead, we find that it's a going beyond the teaching of the Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul would write to the brethren at Corinth and said that we ought not to think above men or think above that which is written. So, has God written something about Lent? Or Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, or Easter, or Whitsuntide? There's nothing written. And the Bible would say we ought not to go beyond then. In 2 John, we read in verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this teaching, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So there's nothing in the Bible. If we're going beyond the Scripture, when we have some kind of service in which we hold with some religious significance anything other than what God has specified that we do. The only observance the Bible has given us is to be done on the first day of the week is, of course, that we worship. It is the day on which the Lord was raised from the dead. And depending on how our calendar falls, there are normally 52 first days of the week, or 52 Sundays. Sometimes there's 53, depending on how the calendar works out. So 52 or 53 Sundays, every first day of the week, we meet together and worship God. And in that service, as a part of our worship, we break bread. We partake of communion, or the Lord's Supper. In Acts the 20th chapter, in verse 7, we're told that the brethren at Troas, upon the first day of the week, they met together to break bread. I imagine growing up, or I've got the idea somewhere along the way, that the Lord's Supper had connection with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. But I've learned better since then. The Lord's Supper is not a memorial of the death, burial, and resurrection. It's simply a memorial of the Lord's death. In the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the suffering of the Lord, what He had to go through, and His death, His atoning death. Nothing is said in respect to the resurrection. Again, we're not seeking to minimize that, but it's simply not shown in the Scriptures that the Lord's Supper has anything to do as a remembering of the resurrection of Christ. Now somebody says, "No, wait a minute. I remember, if you will, turn to Acts chapter 12. Have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 12. Somebody said, "No, wait a minute. The word Easter is in the Bible. It is found in the Bible." In Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. If you have the King James translation of the Scriptures, then it does indeed appear in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. And yet, what does it mean there? What is the idea? Well, the point is, we find that in this place, Herod the king had apprehended the Apostle Peter. And the Scripture says in verse 4, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." And somebody said, "Oh, well, there's Easter." Well, what is found here is the word Pascha. The word is translated in all other occurrences as the word Passover. Why in the world is translated Easter here, I have no idea. But all the other occurrences, 28 of them, that the word appears, it's always Passover. And what it has reference to, of course, is the Hebrew or the Jewish Passover observance. And some say, well, if that's the case, then why is it such a gross mistranslation of Scripture? Well, I don't know that it's all that gross or mistranslation, really. I would wish it was not there, not because of what we believe or such, because it's not really an accurate, a full translation of the word, but it's not all that wrong to begin with. For example, those readers of the 17th century, wherein the King James was translated, their idea, perhaps, was to convey to the English reader the time of year at which Herod did what he did. Since they were accustomed already in their time to observing Easter, which always fell around the same time as the Passover, perhaps they thought, well, we'll put in Easter here, and that'll let our readers know at least the time of year as to when these events took place. But even then, we find that Easter observance, where Christians by command, example, or implication, is nowhere found. Nothing in regards to it at all. It is simply talking about the time of year, the springtime, around the Passover, around the time that so many people observe as Easter. That's the time that Herod did this. It has no connection. This doesn't mention that the Christians were celebrating it or observing it in any respect whatsoever. All right. With all of this said, what should we do? Where do we stand? How do we connect ourselves with this? We sang a song just a moment ago that's based in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 that says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." If we're going to observe Ash Wednesday or Lent or Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, or Easter, then we would have to be able to go back to the Scriptures and say, here is a thus saith the Lord. Here is a Bible commandment, example, or implication wherein we are obligated to keep this with some religious significance. And yet, it's not there. Matter of fact, we read in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 9, 10, and 11 something quite to the contrary. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul writing with inspiration to the churches in Galatia, he says, when you go back to observe special seasons, special customs, special days or times, he said, you've strayed away from Christ, because there are no such religious holidays with any significance that we read about in the Bible. That includes Easter or all the days or seasons connected with it. That would include Christmas. Likewise, in the same category, there is no time, no special occasion wherein the Bible tells us to observe or to commemorate with any religious significance a certain time or a certain day. We read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in respect to meat or in drink or on holy day or of a new moon or of Sabbath days. So the Scriptures are telling us when we go back to observe a certain time for which we can find no Bible authority, then we've gone beyond that which is written. We're not following the direction or the instruction of God. So as much as we hold dear the truth of the resurrection of our Lord, we have been given no command to observe it with a special occasion, a special day, a holiday, or a holy day. But we simply must follow that which God has given us. So to observe this day with a religious significance would be a violation of the Scripture, because we cannot give, therefore, a thus saith the Lord. We commemorate the resurrection of the Lord, in a sense, by the fact that we meet on the first day of the week. But that is given by the decree of God. And so we're grateful and thankful the Lord lived and He died and He rose from the dead. But we have no special significance to it. In our worship, as we mentioned, we commemorate the Lord's death in the partaking and breaking of bread. The bread representing, thinking of His body, and the fruit of the vine thinking or representing of the blood that He shed for our forgiveness. So what should we do? We should study and be aware of know what the Bible teaches on this subject and what the Bible requires of us. And as we have opportunity, seek to try to instruct and help others to know the truth about these things, that we might be knowledgeable, that we might be able to hear the Lord say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, what about you? There may be some this morning that have not been here since last Easter. Well, I'm glad that you're here. I am so glad. I wouldn't want you to be anyplace else than right here. But where have you been since then? On the other hand, when you've had the ability and the means of worshiping God, and you haven't been here in a year, or if you've forsaken the assemblies in any particular, then you've fallen out of fellowship with the Lord. You're unfaithful to Him. Why not come back today and make your commitment that you're going to live as God would have you to live, to be faithful in every respect, in every way, for one of these days you will be called into judgment, as every one of us will be called to judgment to answer for how we've lived in this life regarding everything we've done, whether it be good or bad.
This has been Garland Robinson.